This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. Here's your HeartWise host, Dr. James Markham.
Well, I'd like to welcome everyone to HeartWise today. We have some very interesting topics and questions that have come into our website. And if you're out there listening and would you like to get your question addressed, go to our website. That's heartwiseministries.org. We literally get hundreds of questions between programs, and what we try to do is we try to group the program, the questions, so we can answer as many people's questions on air as we can. And this week, we've got some very interesting questions that have come up in the news recently about heart attacks. And since this is an area that I deal with every single day, I wanted to give my perspective on some of the things that we've been hearing in the media lately. And there's been several questions that came in the website that dealt with heart attacks and prevention of heart attacks. And I wanted to talk to you because right now in America, cardiovascular disease is still the number one killer. So the more we're educated, the more we can prevent it and also treat it when something bad happens. That's when we need acute care medicine. But we also want to talk about the ways we can prevent heart attacks. So I'm glad that Michael Bell is with us in the studio. Michael, how have you been getting along lately?
Oh, I've been doing great, Jim. Thanks.
Well, you look good. And I hear you bought a new mountain bike.
I did. I realized that I was putting on more weight than I should, and I needed to get out and get some exercise. And mountain biking is something that I really enjoy doing. So I looked around on Craigslist and found a mountain bike to buy.
That's great. And when you go out and ride your mountain bike, what you do is it actually changes your chemistry, and you make 9 or 10 great chemicals that not only make you healthy but lower your risk of cardiovascular disease and inflammation, prevent diabetes and all these related problems. So you, in essence, you brought, instead of spending money on prescriptions, you actually spent money on a prescription, but you might not see it that way now.
Oh, it's a lot more fun than taking pills, I assure you.
But you know what? I've noticed a lot of people go out there and they get gym memberships or treadmills or bicycles, and unfortunately, they get them and they don't use them. So I hope I'm going to be seeing you on your bicycle a lot, moving up and down. And I want all of our listeners, no matter what they do to exercise, to make sure that they use that magical thing that they think they're going to get them going. So let's get to our questions, Michael.
All right. The first question that came into the website is, I recently heard that heart attacks can be prevented. Is there truth to this?
Yeah. And that's come up quite a bit lately. Heart attack and prevention. We all want to prevent heart attacks, but there's some notions out there that are going around in the media that are saying that heart attacks, all heart attacks, can be prevented. Now, if I said that to you, Michael, all heart attacks can be prevented, what would you say?
I'd say it's too good to be true.
I know, and it does sound too good to be true, but some are proposing out there by if you eat a plant-based diet, you can prevent all heart attacks. Well, I think that plant-based diets definitely helps lower your risks, tremendously lowers your risks. I know Bill Clinton is eating this way. The person that wrote China Study, T. Colin Campbell, says we can lower risk dramatically. But it cannot prevent all heart attacks. And there is a genetic component. And I've had several people in my office recently. I had a gentleman that came in, 55 years of age. Perfectly healthy. His entire life, he had eaten nothing from an animal, been a total vegan. Also, his blood cholesterol was perfect. Blood pressure was perfect. No diabetes. He exercised every day. You know, he was a standard of health. And yet, he had a heart attack at age 55 without warning. And subsequent testing revealed all of his arteries had plaque in them, cholesterol in them. He's just one of many that I've taken care of through the years that sort of proves to us that there is a gigantic genetic component. So even though these things can lower the risk, I don't think there's anything that can entirely prevent heart attacks. And a lot of people don't realize that there's different types of heart attacks. And I want our listener just to hear a little bit about the different types of heart attacks are. One type of heart attack that's probably the most common is if you had an artery, and if you think of an artery just having a small pimple in it that maybe just takes up 10 to 20% of the lumen of that artery. And this pimple becomes, it goes for years and years, never causes any problem, but someday it pops. And when this pimple pops, the body sees this as something bad because all of a sudden you have a foreign object and the body wants to clot. So when this pimple pops, all these mediators, platelets, and all these clotting mechanisms basically go and try to fix this pimple that popped. And in the process, they clog up the artery. Then after that, a symptom develops, heart attack can happen. Then in the process of a heart attack, we can get a dangerous heart, fast or slow heart rhythm. We can get the valves to leak. Sometimes the heart's not strong enough to generate pressure. Lots of bad things happen. About half of all heart attacks happen suddenly and unexpected, no warning at all, when one of these pimples pop. So that's one type of heart attack. And that pimple, of course, is made of lipids or cholesterol. The second type of heart attack that we see is a type where the artery gradually gets filled up with cholesterol over years and years and years. It becomes 50%, 60%, 70%, 80%, 90% blocked, and then eventually the blood can't squeeze through it at all. Usually those patients and people present with symptoms before their heart attack. They say, yeah, before that I would walk up a hill or do something and I get extremely short of breath, or I'd have a pressure in my chest, or just something wouldn't feel right, or I would have no energy. Well, that's another category of heart attacks that happens. And when I'm treating them, it's nice to know how it happened because you know you decide what you're going to do based on the mechanism of heart attack. The third heart attack type we don't see very commonly, and that's when an artery has no blockages in it at all. It just spasms. Have you ever had a spasm in your body, Michael?
I assume I have.
Okay. Yeah. People sometimes don't understand what a spasm is, so I'm going to sort of explain that. This is not the most nice thing to talk about, but occasionally people have to go to the bathroom really, really, really bad, and you might be in your car, and you might be trying to hold it in. Well, that gripping pain that you get in your bowels, that's sort of what a spasm's like, that gripping pain where it just clamps down so you don't, you know, poop all over the place. That's sort of like a spasm. Some people get the esophagus spasms. Sometimes you can have like a Charlie horse, and that's mm-hmm. where the muscle spasms.
Yep.
Well, the arteries can spasm too, and when they spasm, they acutely close down. And then they might or might not open up, but as long as they're closed down, the artery doesn't give the oxygen that the heart needs, and you develop a heart attack. Different types of situations that cause spasm is, as we've seen, cocaine, for instance. That's a drug that causes spasm. There's certain other conditions that cause spasms. People that are high altitude, sometimes low oxygen can trigger spasms. Sometimes people that put a lot of caffeine or nicotine in their body, sometimes that can trigger what I call a vasospasm. And then one of the last things that cause is a spasm is situations like a broken heart syndrome. Someone loses a loved one, or someone has a lot of grief or a lot of stress where a lot of epinephrine comes on a body. And this epinephrine in itself causes a spasm. In fact, adrenaline or epinephrine is a substance we use to raise blood pressure, and sometimes that can cause the arteries to spasm. So those are about the So that's three mechanisms, and the last one that we don't want to talk about is rarely happens, and that's when a clot from somewhere else in the body floats into an artery. So as you can see, a heart attack isn't as simplistic as as it's made up to be.
Yeah,
and some of those things you have no control over, so there's no way to prevent every single heart attack.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, we want to lower the risk, but when someone says you can totally prevent it, you can't, because just a genetic disease alone can account for 15 to 20% of heart attacks.
Yeah, we live in a sinful world, that's for sure, and things are not getting better as far as our genetics.
Right. And the next question we're going to talk about after break has to do with different things that we might be able to do to find out if you're going to have a heart attack and lower the risks. But to get back to that question one more time. Can we prevent all heart attacks? My answer to that is no. Can we lower our risk significantly by life and removing stress in our lives? The answer to that's yes. And one of those reasons is eating a healthy diet, because that helps prevent inflammation. So I hope that answered that question, and we're going to be right back. And if you will, might have a question that you want answered on our program HeartWise, go to our website at heartwiseministries.org, and we'll make sure your questions are answered. We'll be right back after this short break. Did you know that 70% of Americans are overweight, and that being overweight causes many health-related problems, including sleep apnea, damage to the heart, high blood pressure, diabetes, joint pains, and the list seems to go on and on and on. There are many weight management programs out there. Many require fad diets and different types of diet pills. But we at HeartWise have developed a new program that we'd like you to think about. That's called Weight Management by the Book. And the book is the Bible. We use biblical technology, biblical techniques to help you lose and manage weight in a proven healthy manner. If you're interested in this program, go to our website, heartwiseministries.org, to learn more about this innovative program, Weight Management by the Book.
I'd like to take a moment to invite you to visit the HeartWise Ministries team on the internet. Stop by heartwiseministries.org and discover for yourself that optimum health is not the result of favorable genes or the right combination of pharmaceuticals. No, optimum health is the result of making the right choices each and every moment of each and every day. If you're like me, you're probably a little confused about what the media and marketing moguls are feeding us. There are a lot of potions, pills, and promises out there. Some work, some don't, and some are downright dangerous. Whom do you believe? Whom do you trust? Board-certified cardiologist Dr. James Markham, founder-director of HeartWise Ministries, says there is a source of information that can be trusted and followed. That's the Bible, God's owner's manual, as he calls it, for us all. The information you find on heartwiseministries.org is information backed by biblical truth. It can be trusted because God can be trusted. So stop by, won't you? That's heartwiseministries.org.
I'm Dr. James Markham, and I talk to patients every day who want to know the truth in healthcare. On our website, heartwiseministries.org, you can have your questions answered. You can read my blog where I talk about interesting and controversial subjects in medicine. You might choose to go to the radio or television sections and learn more about all sorts of health topics. Take the time and go to heartwiseministries.org. Welcome back to HeartWise, and I hope those that have just joined us got a glimpse of that last question. And the question basically had to do with, are heart attacks preventable? The answer to that question is yes, you can lower the risk. Are all heart attacks preventable? The answer to that question is no, but we definitely want everyone out there to lower the risk. And Michael, why that's so a key component of a question is, I don't want someone sitting at their home somewhere that does everything right under the impression that this pain or elephant sitting on their chest is nothing to worry about. They might say, oh, I eat a perfect diet. I have all these things under control. I cannot be having a heart attack because someone says it's impossible. That is just not true. I want that person to say, listen, you know, even if you do everything that you can, as you said, this is still a sinful, stressful world. It's still possible to have bad genetics or one of these other mechanisms of a heart attack and still have a heart attack. So we want them to get help because this is a great place for acute care medicine. I mean, this is a great place for a stent or for some medicines when needed. That way we have time to maybe get at the cause of the problem. Unfortunately, you can't change your mom or dad, Michael.
Yeah. Well, I have a question for you. How does somebody know if they're kind of on the border? Well, it was a heart attack. You know, it's not a heart attack. What are some signs that are tried and true that people are that you can give to people? Because in the past, I've had a sharp pain in my chest, mm-hmm. and it's happened two or three times a day, but it never lingers. Yeah. It's just a really sharp pain in my chest. It makes me stop breathing for just a second, and then I go back. Everything's normal. Is that a flutter? Could that be a heart? I mean, obviously it's not a heart attack, but
yeah, many people have that question, and there's one way to approach it is to know for sure, and that's via testing. Okay, you know, mm-hmm. but not everyone wants to undergo gigantic testing for a pain here or there.
Of course.
So what I tell patients is if any symptom above the waist that lasts and does not go away, that could be a heart attack. And why I say any symptoms is because women experience heart pain differently. They might get short of breath, or they might have indigestion, or they might have pain in a shoulder. So anything that's prolonged in nature is either a heart attack or something else. But all pain is a warning system to the body saying that something is not right. Mm-hmm. So whenever you have pain, I want our listeners to think, something's not right. What could it be? Now, of course, you know, if someone hits you in the chest and you have pain from that, you know that it's probably musculoskeletal pain. If every time you lay down after you eat a big meal, you feel pain in your chest, there's a chance that that's reflux. If you have a chest cold and you're coughing up stuff and it hurts when you cough, chances are that's related to bronchitis. If you have a rash on the side of your body, chances are that could be what we call zoster or the shingles. So that's one type of pain that's prolonged that will not go away. It could be a heart attack or something else. The way we tell it is with EKGs, blood work, there's scans that we can do as well. The other type of symptom comes when the heart has to work. So for instance, if you're riding your bike, your mountain bike, and every time you ride your bike up a hill, you notice tightness in your chest. Mm-hmm. And when you stop, that tightness goes away. Well, that could be what we call angina. That could also be a symptom of cardiovascular disease. So if you're having something when you just sit that just lasts a second and goes away, that usually is not cardiovascular disease.
Okay.
But you always want to know, whenever you have pain anywhere in your body, you want to ask yourself, where is this pain from? Because God didn't make us to have pain. Pain is definitely abnormal. And that's why that statement bothered me. And I think so many people wrote into the website that all heart attacks could be preventable, because they might think, if I do this, there's no way I can have a heart attack. So this pain that I'm having at home, there's no way it could be a heart attack. I want to say, yes, it could be. You cannot prevent all heart attacks. I have the proof in my patients. There's genetic issues, and there's also the different heart attack issues that come up.
But we do want to encourage people to eat healthfully.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We want to lower the risk as much as we can of having a heart attack. And before we're done today, we're just going to go down different things that we can do every single day to lower our risk of having a heart attack. Let's get on to the next question here.
All right. The next question that came into the website is, this person asks, is there a test which predicts heart attacks?
Yeah. And I think if we go back to our last question and think about that, we've talked about four different types of heart attacks. Is there a test that can predict heart attack? And of course, we want to assume before it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we can tell if you're having a heart attack immediately if it's happening with the EKG and the blood work. But, you know, is there a test that predicts? Well, no, there's not a test that predicts every time. There are some things that puts people in higher risk groups.
Okay.
For instance, if you have diabetes, if you have high blood pressure, if you have a genetic tendency for heart disease, if you have high cholesterol, if you have extra weight on you, if you have a sedentary lifestyle, that puts you at a higher risk of having a heart attack. Is there a test that says you're going to have it? No. Recently, there's some more tests that can say that you're at a higher risk group. One of these is they measure the calcium scores, where they can actually do some tests with CAT scans and look at the calcium around the arteries, and they say, yeah, you have a lot of calcium, you're at a higher risk. Another test that we're frequently using is one called C-reactive protein. That's a measure of inflammation in the body. We know that the more inflammation you have, the higher risk of having cardiovascular disease. So those are some tests that will show if you're at a higher risk. But usually I can talk to a person and tell whether they're at high risk or not. And what would we do differently? Let's say if we did have a test to predict heart attack, let me say I could do a test on Michael Bell and say, Michael, you know, you're at risk of having a heart attack. What would I tell you to do? Well, we know that stents don't prevent heart attacks. Bypass surgery doesn't prevent heart attacks, but they help great if you're having one. Mm-hmm. So what I'd say, Michael, you're at a great risk of having a heart attack. Here's all these things to do to lower your risk as low as it can be. Now, you can never change your mom and dad, so you can't really change your genetic risk, but you can sure modify everything else so you're at the lowest possible risk. So to get back to that question, is it possible to predict heart attacks? No, I can't look at people and predict, say, you're going to have it today, you're not. And then I say, is it possible to say who's at a higher risk than other people? Yes, it is. And then the last question is even if you, if I did have a test to tell who's going to have it, what would I ask them to do? I would ask them to do everything that we're going to talk about before the end of the show about lowering your risk to low so you don't have to worry about that. You've done everything you can.
Yep.
Let's go on to the next question here.
All right. The next question is, how is inflammation related to heart attacks?
Yeah, and that's one thing that's very important. For years, no one's really sort of said, well, what causes heart attacks? You know, for a long time, they thought, well, maybe cigarettes cause heart attacks, and they definitely contribute. Then a lot of people said, well, maybe it's cholesterol that causes heart attack. Yes, it does. But all of these things contribute to damaging this organ called the endothelium. That's the lining of the blood vessel that predisposes to have heart attacks. When you talk about inflammation, we know that people that have heart attacks have inflammation. You know, if you rubbed your hand a bunch of times, it would get red and swollen. So any type of inflammation raises the chance of you having a heart attack. And I think about anything that causes stress on the body can increase inflammation. So when I talk to people about lowering the risk of heart attacks, I say, well, listen, we want to do everything that lowers stress on the body that lowers inflammation. And we've heard about things like cigarettes. Well, you know that cigarettes, that's stress on the body. That triggers inflammation. So we don't want cigarettes. High blood pressure. Yeah, we don't want that. Diabetes damages this inside lining of the endothelium. So we don't want that. Too much cholesterol in the body does. But we're also finding other things as we learn more about things like stress from not sleeping well at night puts stress on the body. Not drinking enough water puts stress on the body. We've talked earlier about how emotional situations can put stress on the body. We make a lot of adrenaline. That puts stress on the body. So lots of things in this world put stress in our body, and that's why our heart attack rates keep going up and up and up. So the real treatment is in the prevention of heart disease is do everything we can to limit stress. And that's why I get back to our biblical principles. You know, I go back to creation. You know, we want to rest well. We want to take care of these risk factors like high blood pressure, diabetes, smoking, high cholesterol. We want to live an active lifestyle. We want to drink enough water, get enough rest at night. We want to deal with our emotional problems. One of the things that I think helps stress greatly, and I wish there was a study about this, is this condition called worship. Because we were designed to worship. And I think that, you know, if people would worship more, take that rest, that also lowers stress levels, lowers inflammation. And a lot of people don't think of worship as a way of lowering your risk of heart attacks. But if I guarantee if we could do that study, that people that worship the true God and worshiped Him, we could lower their epinephrine level, lower their cortisol levels, lower their inflammation levels. And we've seen this in our society. People work 24/7, 7 days a week, stay up all night. All these things are causing stressors. So in closing today, those are some excellent questions, and I just wanted to clear up a few things. Is it possible to prevent all heart attacks? No, it's not. Can you predict heart attacks? No, you can't reliably predict it. And the key to heart attack risk is lowering your stress. Thank you for joining us on HeartWise today. Go to our website if you have a question. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Thank you for joining us today on HeartWise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. HeartWise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.